Blog Talk Radio.
One time. Yo, all I need is one mic, one beat, one stage, one nigga front, my face on the front page. Only if I had one gun, one girl and one crib, one God to show me how to do things as son did. Pure, like a cup of virgin blood, mixed with 151, one sip will make a nigga flip. Writing names on my hollow tips, plotting shit, mad violence, who I'm gon' body, this hood politics acknowledging. Leave bodies chopped up in garbages, seeds watch us, grow up and try to follow us, police watch us, roll up and try knocking us. One knee I duck, could it be my time is up? With my luck, I got up, the cop shot again. Bus stop glass burst, a fiend drops his Heineken. Ricocheting between the spots that I'm hiding in. Blacking out, I shoot back, fuck getting hit. This is my hood, I'm a rap to the death of it. To everybody, come on, little niggas is grown. Hood rats, don't abortion your wound. We need more warriors soon. Sit from the stars, sun and the moon. And it's like a police chase, the street sweepers and coppers. Stick up kids with no conscience, leaving victims with doctors.
What up, what up, what up? It's your man, the Starry Donso. Coming with you with a special Sankofa Radio. I'm going to be building in a minute with my man, Hassan Shabazz.
Facility and is subject to monitoring and recording. Thank you for using GTL.
Nick.
Excuse me, that's the live. We on air, brother. And I love it to come in like that because this is the realness of incarceration right here. You know, we've been
Yes, sir. That's right.
I'm just explaining
to the people how we're about to go into
a few questions, a Q&A between ourselves, a conversation for the people, injecting ourselves in a conversation about mass incarceration, criminal justice reform, and, you know, just giving a prisoner perspective, you know what I'm saying? So you came in right at the nick of time. I know that you were in a tough situation with the phone down there, so I see you made it happen. I'm glad about that. All right, so look, man, I'm going to set it off with the first
question.
I want to ask you.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I would like to know. Yeah, I would like to know, man. You know, I would like for you to explain to the people why they should participate in the conference call on November the 12th. Why should they participate in the conference call, and why is the conference call needed? You know.
Well, you know, as a member of the Virginia Prisoner Conscious, you know, as a subgroup under the Coalition for Justice, man, I really feel like that the public needs to hear from those of us who are incarcerated, that we might be able to give our perspective toward what it means to end mass incarceration in Virginia. And, you know, with this tool, that the conference call can be used for education and support for those who desire to work toward the end of ending mass incarceration. It's necessary, man. I believe that we are breaking new ground, and we're going to break down the walls that have been a barrier to a nexus between us and the public, man. You know, so for me, I believe that the conference call is extremely important for those who are involved in the struggle, you know, so that it can become acquainted with others who are also in the same fight, man. You know, a lot of people feel like they're alone in this fight out there. A lot of people feel there's a sense of or hopelessness. They've been striving to do this all on their own. And, you know, a lot of people need information. A lot of people need direction. They need organization.
Yeah.
And I do believe that with the conference call, we can provide that. And so we're at a point right now where, you know, this is a tool that we can use, man, really to push forward toward the goal of ending mass incarceration. And that's really why I feel it's important. That's why I've been championing this cause. I've been putting all that I can into it. And we just need the people to participate, bro. I really feel it's necessary right now.
Yeah, I agree, man. And I just, if you're listening, you know, there's an intersection between the various struggles that the people in society are facing, whether we're talking about tax reform bill right now, how that's going to impact people. But there's a connection between that and mass incarceration. Learn about these things by coming to the conference call, following VAPOC, following our rights, listening to our talks. Realize that we all in this together. It's a class struggle right now, man, that goes beyond racial lines, that goes beyond gender lines, you know. At the end of the day, man, it's a class warfare. We need to be able to understand how our environments, how the spaces we inhabit, all of these things are under attack right now. You know, we have to come together. We have to organize together. Yes, sir.
I believe I wholeheartedly agree with that, you know, because a lot of people out there in society really just don't understand, you know, what, you know, being incarcerated means and what it all entails. I mean, you know, I want to know from you, man, you know, really, what's your experience as a prisoner with how people in society view prisoners and prison-related issues, bro?
Well, I mean, my experience, you know, I'm on year 20, you know what I'm saying? And so I have a lot of experience with that. And the struggle oftentimes is that people are miseducated about the prison environment, you know, what it looks like, what it is. There's been a very crafty way of creating imagery, you know. So when people think about prison, right, the schemas that enter their mind, what they think of is this violent, aggressive, you know, highly testosterone environment where people stabbing each other, men are getting raped, and we lifting weights every day trying to get big so we can, you know, and it couldn't be any further from the truth. You know, the reality is that prisons are very depressing environments, probably some of the most nonviolent spaces in America, you know what I'm saying? And so I think that people oftentimes get caught up in the hoopla. You know what I'm saying, the stigmas, these ideas that men in prison, all of us are conniving, and that we are all out to use and manipulate people. And so because of that, you know, a lot of people just choose not to deal with us, you know. And then the criminal stigma that, you know, criminal people who commit crimes are evil people, you know what I'm saying. This idea that people who commit crimes are evil people instructs people on how to interact with us, you know what I'm saying. Oftentimes people look at us like, you know, we're out with an ulterior motive and all that. So I think that People tend to see us in a negative light, man, and I think what we're trying to do is change that. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I believe that a lot of people have a warped perception of prison, you know, due to what I call, you know, I call it the Hollywoodification of the prison experience. Really, most definitely, you know, Orange is the New Black and all these other different things, really. But at the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of stereotypes that are out there, movies, TV shows, novels, the mass media, you know, we really are victims in a lot of ways to what other people want us to think about prison. And you know, most of the people out there in society are oblivious to prison life and the trials and tribulations of those that are in prison, as well as the families and so forth. And so now, you know, social media has somewhat made the true experience more accessible to the public because, you know, using sites like En Masse Incarceration in Virginia, where prisoners have an opportunity to be able to post about their everyday, you know, environment, their living conditions and so forth, you know, It really bridges the gap that's been there for so long. But in many ways, you know, some people just don't care. They feel like, you know, mass incarceration really has nothing to do with them. They feel like those who are in prison have nothing to do with them. And, you know, I was told a long time ago that when you come to prison, you know, you really cut out of circulation, brother. And so a lot of people just don't know, and they really don't understand how they're infected by mass incarceration, you know.
Yeah, you know, you made me think when you were talking. You know, it's true indeed, they don't understand, and that's by design. You know, because again, it's been controlled. The narrative has been controlled, and the imagery has been controlled by people who have an interest in mass incarceration. You know, and so one of the ways that they have been effective and working towards their agenda and completing that mission is by silencing us. You know what I'm saying? And by at the same time, you know, trying to censor the information that we get from the public. You know, there's been a real crafty, insidious methodology in place, put in place to dehumanize us and to keep us separate. You know what I'm saying? And I was thinking about this when you was just talking, man. So, you know, as for people to know, we said we was going to just, you know, just build with y'all. And so I was thinking, you know, I just said that it was a class struggle. We talking about why people, how people see us in here. My question is, what would you say to somebody who's out there struggling every day? You know what I'm saying? Just trying to make it, just trying to survive. You know, and on the other side of that, somebody who's middle class, upper middle class, wealthy, what would you say to people out there from the various different classes about why it is they should care? Why it is they should care for our struggle, this struggle, in the mass incarceration?
Yeah, wow. Yeah, wow, brother. That's a deep question right there because, you know, well, first and foremost, you know, as a member of Virginia Prisoner Consciousment, VAPOC, you know, I believe that mass incarceration affects us all. You know, a lot of people don't understand how, because they've just been disconnected. But we're gonna bridge that gap right now. We're gonna make that connection, man, because one of the main things that I see, you know, is the financial burden that it places upon society. You know, back in 94, 95, you know, during the you know, the presidency of Bill Clinton, you know, $5 billion was allocated toward prison reformation and prison reform, toward making sentences tougher. And this is what really came and gave way to the system of mass incarceration that we see now as it is. And so now when you look at that same system that $5 billion was funneled into, you're talking about $42 billion today and then some that's being allocated toward prisons and incarceration. Now, this is what we're talking about, mass incarceration. And even, and then when you look at the cost per year right here in Virginia, you're talking about over $600-some million that's being allocated toward prisons in Virginia. Now, this is taxpayer money. And so this is putting a strain on not only the most wealthy of us, but also mostly upon the working class who really can't afford to pay the day-to-day living every day as it stands. And so you're talking about people that are working from check to check. Education is hard on them. Health care is hard on them. You're talking about a health care bill now that's being reformed to benefit the wealthy. And so when you look at that type of situation, you're talking about taxpayer money going into a system of mass incarceration, which could be used for something else. Now, I think people should also understand that within this mass incarceration machine, where the focus has been on warehousing, rather than the reformation of the minds, the neglect to do so promotes a criminal mentality and also, I believe, an inclination towards crime. So, you know, one day the majority of those who are incarcerated is going to be free, bro. And because I believe that this system promotes an antisocial rather than a pro-social personality, everyone out there should be concerned. You know, like I always say, you know, what you want on your hands, a lunatic or a scholar? So we need to start looking into ways that we can reform this system that will better, you know, benefit the community and society as a whole. How you feel about that, man? I mean, you posed the question.
I like that. Not too much more need to be said. I totally agree. I think that I think for the struggling person, you know what I'm saying, for the person who's just trying to make it check to check, I think most of you all are the ones, you know, we are the ones who are being affected by mass incarceration the most. You know what I'm saying? As far as intimately, personally, you know, families being broken up as a result of people being, you know, displaced and, you know, put into these new public housing projects is what I like to call them. And so, you know, I think for them, why they should be more concerned about it is because, you know, you're taking, particularly with the men being taken out of the community, because we make up the largest segment of the black men, and particularly the largest segment of the prison population in Virginia. You're talking about unproductive males who could be working. You know, if I was telling a dude earlier, man, it's crazy to have this conversation. I said, you know, if I worked out there right now at Ruby Tuesdays full-time, you know what I'm saying, I could make anywhere between $15,000, $18,000 a year. You know what I'm saying? And that's money that I could put back to some household. You know what I'm saying? If I was living with my wife, you know what I'm saying, and our son, you know, we could, that's $18,000 extra dollars being born into a household. You know what I'm saying? But now, you know, they got a brother in here. I don't have a job because I'm being Kaepernicked. But let's say I did, I couldn't get more than 45 cents. No, I can't make more than a couple hundred dollars a year. I'm completely unproductive.
That's
what I'm saying? And so it's nothing, and it's not by design. It's not because I don't want to be productive. It's because I'm being restricted. You know, people want to exploit my labor because there are people who benefit in here from prison labor. That's a whole other issue. But, yeah, so I think people should be concerned for that reason. I think people need to know and understand how all this ties together, you know. So, look, we have 14 minutes. We're going to have to stop right here. We're going to play a sound bite as we stop and call back in because prison calls are 20 minutes. So we're going to stop. We're going to call back give us a minute and a half. And we're going to continue the conversation. Yehovah.
That's right. Yehovah.
Thank you for using GTL. Thank you for using GTL.
One time. Yeah. Yeah. Yo. studio. All I need is one mic, one beat, one stage, one nigga front, my face on the front page. Only if I had one gun, one girl and one crib, one God to show me how to do things the sun did. Pure like a cup of virgin blood, mixed with 151, one sip will make a nigga flip. Writing names on my hollow tips, plotting shit, mad violence, so I'm gon' body this hood politics, acknowledge it. Leave bodies chopped up in garbages, seeds watch us, grow up and try to follow us, police watch us, roll up and try knocking us. One knee I duck, could it be my time is up? With my luck I got up, the cops shot again. Bus stop glass burst, a fiend drops his Heineken, ricocheting between the spots that I'm hiding in. Blacking out, I shoot back, fuck getting hit. This is my hood, I'm a rep to the death of it, to everybody come on. Little niggas is grown, hood rats, don't abortion your wound. We need more warriors soon, sent from the stars, sun and the moon. And it's like a police chase, the street sweepers and coppers, stick up kids with no conscience, leaving victims with doctors. If you really think you're ready to die, when nine's out, this is what nine's about, nigga, the time is now.
All I need is one mic, one mic, one mic, all I need is one mic, one mic, one mic, that's all I need. All I need is one mic, one mic, one mic, all I need, niggas, all I need is one mic, one mic, one mic, yeah. All I need is one blunt, one page, and one pen, one prayer. Tell God, forgive me for one sin. Matter of fact, maybe more than one. Look back at all the hatred against me. Fuck all of them. Jesus died at age 33. That's 33 shots from twin Glocks and 16 apiece. That's 32, which means one of my guns was holding 17. 27 hit your crew, 6 winners to you. Everybody gotta die sometime. Hope your funeral never get shot up. Bullets tear through the innocent. Nothing is fair. Niggas roll up, shooting from wheelchairs. My heart is racing, tasting revenge in the air. I let this shit slide for too many years, too many times now. I'm strapped with a couple of Macs, too many nines. If y'all niggas really with me, get busy, load up the semis. Do more than just hold it, explode the clip until you empty. There's nothing in our way. They bust, we bust, they rust, we rust. Let's fly and feel it, I feel it in my gut. That we take these bitches to war, lie them down, cause we stronger now, my nigga. This time is now.
All I need is one mic. One mic, one mic. That's all I need, nigga. That's all I need. All I need is one mic. All I need is one mic, one mic, that's all a nigga need to do his thing, no. All I need is one mic, one mic, one mic. All I need is one life, one try, one breath, I'm one man. What I stand for, speak for itself. They don't understand and want to see me on top, too egotistical. Talking all that slick shit the same way these bitches do. Wonder what my secret is. Niggas will move on you only if they know what your weaknesses. I have none. Too late to grab guns, I'm blasting, cause I'm a fool, nigga. Thought I wouldn't have that ass done. Fooled you, niggas. What you call an infinite brawl, eternal souls clashing. World gets deep, some beef is everlasting. Complete with thick scars. Brothers knifing each other up in prison. Drama, where does it start? You know the block was ill as a youngster. Every night it was like a cop would be killed. Body found in the dumpster, for real a hustler. Purchased my range, niggas throwing dirt on my name. Jealous cause fiends got they working to complain. Bitches left me cause they thought I was finished. Shoulda knew she wasn't true, she came to me. When a man caught a sentence, diamonds are blinded. I never make the same mistakes. Moving with a change of pace, lighter load. See now the king is straight, swelling my melon. Cause none of these niggas real hurting were telling police, how can a kingpin squeal? This is crazy, I'm on the right track. I'm finally found. You need some soul searching. The time is now.
All I need is one mic. One mic.
And you're talking about, yes sir, yes sir, bro. And really, in addition to that, man, you know, based on what you was telling me earlier, It's something else though, man. I really wanted to hit on and wanted to touch on, man. Was that sure. We talked about how the average citizen out there is, but man, how do you feel about, man? What about the victims of crime, man? I mean, really, because a lot of people don't talk about that. But you know, what about those who have been victimized by some type of crime, man? Why should they be concerned about mass incarceration, man?
Yeah. Well, for those of you who don't know us, Hassan Shabazz is one of my great friends. We have these conversations all the time. I know you asked me that because I came up with a concept a few years back. I like to call them radical victims' rights. And what my concept is essentially is that we have to come up with a new definition of what it means. First and foremost, to be a victim. You know what I'm saying? Because
.
Yo, all I need is one mic, one beat, one stage, one nigga front, my face on the front page. Only if I had one gun, one girl and one crib, one God to show me how to do things the sun did. Pure, like a cup of virgin blood, mixed with 151, one sip will make a nigga flip. Writing names on my hollow tips, plotting shit, mad violence, who I'm gonna body, this hood politics, acknowledge it. Leave bodies chopped up in garbages, seeds watch us, grow up and try to follow us, police watch us, roll up and try knocking us. One knee I duck, could it be my time is up? With my luck I got up, the cops shot again. Bust stop glass bursts, a fiend drops his Heineken, ricocheting between the spots that I'm hiding in. Blacking out, I shoot back, fuck getting hit. This is my hood, I'm a rap to the death of it, to everybody come on. Little niggas is grown, hood rats, don't abortion your wound. We need more warriors soon, sent from the stars, sun and the moon. And it's like a police chase, the street sweepers and coppers, stick up kids with no conscience, leaving victims with doctors. If you really think you're ready to die, when nine's out, this is what nine's about, nigga, the time is now.
One mic.
I would like to finish my thought because we don't have a lot of time. But what I was saying is that, you know, people aren't born criminals. You know, they go through situations in life that cause them to contemplate crime, think about crime, think about, you know, behaving in a way that the society or that the power structure in society has labeled as criminal, as a criminal offense. Because, again, we have to understand that crime is a man-made thing. So if I'm, you know, violent, or if I'm, you know, selling drugs or robbing people, the question is, how did I get in a situation where that's something that I actually have a desire to do? You know, so whether you've been miseducated by the sensationalization of certain behaviors, or whether it is you're putting, you know, conditions from, based on your oppression where you're struggling and you're forced to have to do things out of desperation, either way you're being victimized, you know what I'm saying? And so, because we learn these things early in life, you know, as children, we watch images of violence, and so we begin to embrace violence, you know what I'm saying? And so these things are victimization, you know what I'm saying? It's a victimization of a young person's mind, and when you get older, this becomes a way that you resolve conflict, and so on and so on. So radical victims' rights consideration that people who commit crimes are also have also been victimized. Now, does this mean that they shouldn't be punished for their crime? That's not what we're saying. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we have to try to understand better from a human perspective, you know, what happened to this person, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, I'm glad to see you back. So that is essentially what the idea is. Now, on the flip side of that, that radical victims' rights challenges people who are victims of crime, the primary victims of the crime itself, to be more compassionate, to be more open to seeing and challenged by society and by the power structure in society to seeing the humanity in people. And see, and this is because what I have noticed and what I have learned from my experience just studying the whole victims' rights movement beginning in the 70s, you know, it's been exploited by a particular group of people, you know, powerful people who have had an interest in expanding the incarceration state, have used the traumas and the tragedy and the emotions of people who are victims of crime, who have been victimized by crime. They have exploited that as a way to promote the need for a tough-on-crime agenda, you know. But behind that agenda is, you know, economic gain, you know what I'm saying? I have a violent crime, and I like to always let people know that there's a difference between a violent crime and a violent person, okay? You have people who commit violent crimes, that's a moment in time, and that happens for various reasons, you know. People who may have never been violent and may not continue after to be violent may have committed a violent act in one moment. That's a violent crime. But a violent person is somebody who's violent regularly, you know, routinely violent. Like, this is a part of who they are. And you have people, man, who are in society who are violent people, you know what I'm saying? Although they may have not ever been convicted of a violent crime, or they may have been convicted of violent crimes, but for many reasons have not been sentenced and punished harshly, you know what I'm saying? And so we have to stop allowing people who exploit that to use this notion of violent crime as a way to persuade people in society to continue to expand the carceral state, to continue to mass incarcerate, because those being affected by that primarily are African people in this society. You know, we are the ones who are punished the harshest, whether it be death sentences or fines. You know what I'm saying? Like, we receive the harshest penalties always. And violent crimes I know people in here who, you know, because they're white and they're privileged, you know what I'm saying, for their violent crimes, they're called to get out. I know people who are black because of their violent crimes that are not nearly as heinous, you know, have de facto life sentences, you know what I'm saying, or have sentences that are so large that by the time they get out, they'll be elderly and they came here when they were young. I mean, it's disproportionate. And so we got to take all of that nonsense off the table. It's not good public policy. It doesn't advance public safety. And we have to we have to change our minds and change our perception of how it is we see victimization when it comes to crime. That's
true.
That's how I feel about it, man.
True. I feel that, bro. I mean, and, you know, I feel that wholeheartedly. Everything you said, man, I can wholeheartedly agree with, because I see it the same way, and I've been seeing it for years. Really, really working in the law library and seeing the vast disparity in the type of sentences and cases that come in when you're talking about those who are African versus Caucasian, and then all other nations and nationalities and ethnicities as well. There's a vast disparity when you're talking about those of us who are African, and that are you know, being plagued by certain aspects of what we see as being you know, what I call the criminalization of poverty within our communities, man. And a lot of that has to be taken into consideration, because there is a certain degree of social responsibility when it comes to what we're talking about, the victims of crime and so forth like that. But what I would like to add with that is that, you know, with everybody once again that's out there who have been victimized by crime, and we're not just talking violent crime, we're just talking about victims of crime in general. You know, somebody may have been robbed or burglarized or what have you. What I believe is that for every one of those people who have been convicted of those types of crimes, there's a great chance that these people or perpetrators of that crime are going to see the street again someday. And so, you know, there is a system of transformation and reformation that's needed, more so than us talking about warehousing people and just mass incarcerating people without dealing with the social ills, the psychosocial profiles and the antisocial profiles that these people have when they've been affected by certain things in the society that cause them to think and act the way that they do. And so we need to start addressing those issues, you know? I really feel that that's very important, man.
No, that's most peace. We down to about 2 minutes, man. Do you have anything you want to say in the last minute or so, man?
Well, really what I want to say, man, is I want people to tune in. I want people to be there. I want people to be a part of this because, you know, once again, mass incarceration affects us all. You know, there's a lot of things that cross the boundary lines that we've set before ourselves that we don't even realize that are connected. We need to understand that we're all in this thing together. And so we have to move forward together. Otherwise, there will be no future. We have to move forward into the future together, man. I believe that.
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt, man. I want to always say, ask my bro right there, Virginia Prison of Conscience. We're trying our best to raise the conscience level to politicize prisoners in here, man, in and out of prison. We need your help in mass incarceration in Virginia on Facebook. Coalition for Justice, Wix site. Wixsite.com. Check us out at the Prison Justice blog. You can follow me at Ascari Donso on Facebook. You can also follow us on Free Ascari on Twitter, man. And at the end of the day, man, get involved. You know what I'm saying? Right now, we had a critical stage of history, critical moment of history. The people who are trying to totally take over society are being ruthless in their methods, and we got to step it up. You know what I'm saying? And so we got to organize and come together. With that said, man, thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you on November the 12th, 3:30. Go to Mass Incarceration in Virginia to get the information, or go to coalitionforjustice.wixsite.com to